This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition with Ayman and Cam, and for our next story, we are continuing the theme of Chinese New Year. This time, we're going to focus on a central feature in CNY decorations. So, besides things like the color red, firecrackers, lanterns, another element is Chinese calligraphy. And like all the other symbols, there are myths and legends associated with calligraphy and why it's practiced during Chinese New Year.
According to one of those stories, it had originated from writings on peach wood charms. The legend goes that there was a peach tree in the East China Sea, which was the gate where ghosts passed through between the underworld and the world of the living. There were two gods that were responsible for guarding this gate. So people used to write the names of these gods on the charms and then hang them on the door to ward off demons.
And there's another story as well involving a beast called Nian. So Nian used to roam around every new year, and the villagers were terrified of the beast because it ate their crops, their livestock, and sometimes even humans as well. So one day, they found that it was afraid of loud noises, bright lights, and the color red. And that's why people started putting up these decorations at their front door. And firecrackers and lion dances are also attributed to this legend as well.
Now, Chinese calligraphy isn't exclusively associated with Chinese New Year, but we thought it would be nice to dive deeper into the art form in this time of tradition and celebration. And to do that, we spoke with veteran calligrapher Dr. Wong Kum Peng.
So, because the interview was conducted in Mandarin, we've dubbed it in English for the purpose of the show.
I fell in love with Chinese characters because I thought they were beautiful. That's why I started practicing calligraphy.
That passion began when Dr. Wong was little and has lasted till today. And over the years, Dr. Wong's calligraphy has been featured on buildings, memorials, and schools, even postage stamps. One of the most recognizable works abroad is the calligraphy writing adorning the entrance to the Melbourne Chinatown.
I've been practicing calligraphy since I was in year 3 in primary school. That was more than 50 years ago. It's likely I'm the person who held the calligraphy brush for the most number of years in Malaysia. I practiced calligraphy on my own back in primary school. When I went to secondary school, my teachers were very supportive of me. I was awarded first place in the calligraphy competition, and that motivated me to keep practicing. Later on, I attended university in Taiwan, and I was immersed in a very cultural environment. I joined associations in university, which allowed me to attend lectures of several famous calligraphers. After returning to Malaysia, I sought guidance of Huang Xi'an, a famous calligrapher in the country. He didn't exactly teach me in a direct manner because he wasn't very expressive in the verbal sense. So every Saturday, I went over to observe him as he practiced his calligraphy.
Dr. Wong was one of the early figures who promoted the art form in the country. And back in the 1980s, he and several other individuals founded the Malaysia Chinese Calligraphy Society.
Back in 1980, the first ever national calligraphy competition was held in Malaysia. I was awarded first place in two categories. After that, a group of us formed the Malaysia Chinese Calligraphy Society. Through the association, we promoted the art of Chinese calligraphy throughout the country. There weren't many members at first, but over the years, it has grown to include more than 3,000 members. The association is not exclusive to calligraphers. As long as one is interested in the art form, they can join the society. We also held workshops to train school teachers so they, in turn, can guide their students in calligraphy.
Chinese calligraphy can seem so abstract, especially those who don't practice it.
Yeah, so like, when you look at calligraphy, right, be it like Chinese calligraphy or in any other languages as well, they tend to be in characters or words that we don't understand, letters that we don't understand. So when you see these kind of calligraphy, right, Cam, what is it about it that you think makes it beautiful or interesting to you?
As you say, I don't understand Chinese calligraphy, mm-hmm. but I do enjoy looking at it because it's, as with any written text from any language, and numbers for that matter, it's an opportunity for kind of archaeology before your very eyes. Mm. And Chinese calligraphy started so ancient, so long ago as pictograms. Mm-hmm. So I understand theoretically that there'd be a picture of the sun coming up over a mountain might mean morning. I'm kind of making this up a little. But and over time, it's become a little more abstract so that it could be easier to write. And so I kind of enjoy looking at the pictogram, the calligraphy, and trying to decode what it might possibly symbolize originally, then to see, oh, am I right or wrong? And of course, I'm always wrong. but it's fun to give it a try.
So there was one time when I went to this writing class, right, teaching you how to do like these brush strokes using a brush. And it's very technical. It can be very difficult, especially for people who aren't used to writing in that way. So I think what really adds to the beauty of calligraphy is the different strokes that are applied to it. I think it takes a certain level of technical skill to achieve that kind of neat or artistic kind of expression of what are basically just like everyday letters and characters. And I think that's just a really, really beautiful thing to do, even until today, at a time when maybe not everyone writes calligraphy for like everyday use. It's more used as an art form, right?
Yeah, and a kind of form meditation as well. I mean, there are sort of Chinese and Japanese masters of the form mm-hmm. who obviously you have to write the entire thing in one stroke. Mm-hmm. And they'll be doing it hundreds and hundreds of times. And it becomes sort of, meditative process. So it's not just a word sort of telling you the direction to the restaurant, but there's a depth of culture and meaning deeper inside that.
So Dr. Wong, he explained that, you know, when it comes to calligraphy, there are three components to it.
First, that's the text. Second, that's the technique. And third, that's the meaning or connotation. All three components are crucial to the mastery of Chinese calligraphy. It's not enough to have a good technique. In fact, the most crucial component here is the connotation that is expressed in your work. And in order to have something worthy of being expressed, you must read widely.
But what exactly is connotation? So Dr. Wong said that it's pretty difficult to explain, but it's something that the calligrapher with enough life experience aims to express through their work.
In order to be able to express connotation, you need to have plenty of life experience. It's difficult for most people without a calligraphy background to understand this. We often say that one writes themselves into their calligraphy. This is to say that your character is reflected in your calligraphy. For example, if you're a generous or stingy person, it comes across in your style of writing.
So while calligraphers should strive to have expression, the mastery of technique should come first.
You must first hone your technique before you seek to express yourself in your calligraphy. Without mastering the skills, you can't express yourself. However, that expression is what distinguishes an artist from a technician. It's like a singer who is technically sound and able to hit all the notes, but lacks expression. It just doesn't sound so good. I'm not downplaying the role of technicians, but what you lack here is ideation. In order to come up with ideas, you need to broaden your knowledge in the related fields. This is what I'm talking about when I say that connotation is important.
We're featuring Dr. Wong Kam Peng, a veteran Chinese calligrapher, and we'll be continuing after this by taking a look at what goes on in the training of calligraphy. If you have any thoughts or personal stories to share about how you see the beauty and art in calligraphy, you can send it our way. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after this, so stay tuned on the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
You're with Ayman and Kem on the Evening Edition, and we've been featuring our conversation with the seasoned Chinese calligrapher, Dr. Wong Kam Peng. So, as you mentioned earlier, calligraphy can seem pretty abstract to most. You know, you're looking at letters and characters that maybe you don't understand. They're written in a very abstract way as well. So, it may not be easy for a lot of people to appreciate it. So, for Dr. Wong, it's something that becomes enhanced with experience and practice.
It's just like Picasso's paintings. The paintings he made at a younger age were very detailed. But as he grew older, his paintings expressed different emotions. People cope with their emotions in different ways. Some may just keep quiet, while others may go look for food, go shopping, swim. Calligraphy is just one of these many ways to express this. But not everybody will be able to understand what you express. And that's okay, because in calligraphy, you're not accountable to anyone but yourself. Others may admire your work, but different people will feel differently about that same piece of work. It's just like music. The more one knows about music, the more they will be able to appreciate the intricacies of a piece. In calligraphy, the more you learn, the more you realize that there is plenty to appreciate in a piece of work. Otherwise, it just looks pretty to an observer on a surface level.
Over the years, Dr. Wong has had many students in calligraphy. A number of them have trained with him for more than 20 or 30 years.
When I train my students, I first teach them how to brush a stroke. Once they master this, I teach them how to combine the strokes into a character. After that, I guide them to arrange those characters into a script. Once you feel like you're about to grasp a skill, you will persist in it. On the other hand, you'll give up quickly if you don't have a strong interest. However, if you feel something special when you practice calligraphy, you'll get obsessed.
Chinese calligraphy is broken down into five main styles, and all of which require persistent training for a calligrapher to learn.
Not every calligrapher is able to acquire all different styles of calligraphy. In order to train yourself in the different styles, you must first imitate the works of earlier calligraphers. As you imitate those works, you grow to understand more about them. However, imitating the work of others is not enough. Your final objective should be to develop your own style. It's just like any other skill, for example, playing the piano. You start off practicing the same classics before you compose your own songs. The initial focus should be on honing your skills before you express yourself. Without the right skills, your expression won't work.
So far, it's clear that calligraphy is a practice that takes a whole lot of time and patience. And we wondered if it fits into the high-paced digital lifestyle of today.
Today's culture is all about speed and getting things instantly. This is the opposite of calligraphy, which requires training over a long period of time. Calligraphy should be thought of as a form of self-cultivation. It involves a gradual accumulation of skills. It's just like growing up in life. The journey is more important than the destination, which nobody can foresee anyway. The more experiences you collect in the journey, the richer your life becomes. In calligraphy, it's about constantly exploring and learning new things. The biggest takeaway from calligraphy is that you should never think you've mastered it.
For Dr. Wong, calligraphy also reflects a constant state of change.
There are many things that we don't know at any point in life. As we grow older, our perspective shifts, which affects how we view beauty. Take the example of your favorite shirt or hairstyle from years ago. You wouldn't dare dress yourself the same way today. This is because what you value has changed with age. And as that changes, you no longer appreciate the same things. It's the same with calligraphy. People might say that your older works are more beautiful than your present ones. But that's because that they are at the stage of life where you were at all those years ago. You've gone past that stage and now you value something else.
That was veteran calligrapher Dr. Wong Kam Peng. So if you have any thoughts to share about how you appreciate calligraphy as an art form, you can always send it our way. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can also tweet us at BFM Radio. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.